right, 5 p.m. on Wednesday, and here we are together once again. Hopefully you're joining us to spend an hour with Heidi and I. That would be wonderful. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, doing this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6. On Wednesdays, for this whole American Hit Radio thing, we've taken on an immense task to cover 1,000 albums that we consider to be important in music history. We've divided them into two categories. There's the top 500 of the top 40, 500 albums all, which did make the top 40. And then we explicitly looked for 500 albums that did not make the top 40 to find the ones that were the most relevant and influential. Sort of like basically trying to cover it, not based on popularity and not having to force it to be in a box, because there's so many great albums that did not make the top 40. So that's what this is about. And in the process of playing these albums, the main point is to more or less prove not only how music changed over time with the albums and what they offered musically, but to prove that the albums themselves matter, that albums have been very important in the terms of music history for the past 60 years or some odd, and since 1955 anyway. And that is something that we're trying to more or less see if we can retain that somehow, even despite the digital age and digital downloads and streaming services, et cetera, et cetera. So the album we are looking at today, it's actually part two. We covered part one last week of the album Europe 72 by the Grateful Dead. Wonderful live album. I hope that last week made that half of our point. And what makes Europe 72 unique is the extended lineup of the band. It was something that was new in 1972. This is the band's first release with Keith and Don Agacio, and their presence adds subtle complexities. Pianist Keith was brought in to help fill in for the ailing Pigpen, who was missing shows due to illness. And Gacho's wife was also added to the roster, bringing with her her experience as a backup singer for Percy Sledge and Elvis Presley, among others. I mean, that was her singing backup on When a Man Loves a Woman and Suspicious Minds. So she had a lot of experience going back to that. Together, the two of them like round out the sound for the band. And Keith's rhythmically strong and explorative style on piano sits perfectly between the extrapolations of Bob Weir and Jerry Garcia. If you're interested in Grateful Dead because of interplay and the way that they work together, you're going to find few examples that are more like brilliant at proving just how well they were, how good they were at that, than the album Europe 72. Of the official releases, it's by far the best, if you ask me. So let's pick up where we left off. We're going to try to play the second half of the album, despite it being a triple album. We played three signs last week. We're going to try to play three this week, starting with Brown-Eyed Women, one of the new songs that appeared on the album. So it was new to fans in 1972, and this came out on 90.3 WHPC. Here are the Grateful Dead.
Around. Gone are the days when the lady said, please, gently Jack Jones, won't you come to me? Brown-eyed women and red grenadine, the bottle was dusty but the liquor was clean. Sound of the thunder with the rain pouring down, and it looks like drank to the dregs of the whiskey jar. 1930, when the wall caved in, he paid his way selling red-eyed gin. Brown-eyed women and red grenadine,
and it looks like your hands get burned.
Just so much about this album that I love. This was a huge crew on this tour. The band toured with 43 people. They had two buses that they were driving all around Europe for these shows. And the reason they recorded it was they figured this was one way they could maybe make some money to get paid back, because it was a very expensive tour.
I'm sure.
But the album was incredibly successful. It was one of the first triple albums to be certified gold. Since then, it's now certified double platinum. So it's certainly done well for the band. I want to get in a lot of music. Let's play a couple back-to-back, if we may, Heidi. We're going to be playing sides, what would have been on the album, sides 3, 4, and 6 today. So we will now go into, we haven't heard from him yet, but Pigpen is responsible for singing the next tune, an old Elmore James tune called Hurts Me Too. And we'll let that segue into one of my favorite songs on the album, Ramble on Rose, on 90.3 WHPC.
Thank you.
best put it down. Cause you know I just can't stand to see y'all.
Oh, right. That song, of course, written by Jerry Garcia with Robert Hunter, who is the lyricist for the band, regardless of whether it was Jerry Garcia or with Phil Lesh or even Pigpen, for that matter. It was, the words usually came from Robert Hunter. Not always, but at this point in time, that was mostly the case. Another change that happened around, this is the first album where Garcia was playing a Fender Stratocaster. I think this is the album where he made the change. Before this, he was playing Gibson SGs. And the Stratocaster, I don't know, it's a more sophisticated guitar, in my opinion. It has this great, and the sound that he gets on this album is fantastic. So that adds, again, to that really, the way that there's all this interplay and the sounds of the instruments, and the production is incredible. And the Dead had maybe the best sound system, traveling sound system, of any band on the road. They had hired some of the most incredibly intelligent people to put together this monstrous system that they had to move from place to place to place. And at that time, everybody else was playing through a few speakers or what you would basically see in like a movie house or something. And the Dead were coming out with these monstrous stacks of amplifiers, and it sounded brilliant. All right, let's keep going. We've finished side three. We'll go to side four. Speaking of Robert Hunter and other writers, this is a Hunter Weir composition entitled Sugar Magnolia. Of course, a cover of a song that they released on their previous studio album, American Beauty.
Please.
Yeah, some great momentum on that track and some really great harmonies from Donna Gottschall that were added to the song to give it an extra little flavor there. Okay, let's round out side four. Another song from Pigpen coming up. And as I said, again, with words by Robert Hunter, the music by Pigpen. And then we wrap it up with another Garcia Hunter composition called Tennessee Jed from that side on 90.3 WHPC.
Take a little powder, take a little salt, put it in my shotgun, and I go walking out. Chupa, chupa,
chupa, chupa,
bully, bully,
bully, bully,
looking high,
looking high,
looking low,
looking low.
Gonna scare you up and shoot ya,
Mr. Charlie told me so.
Step on my poor head. got a letter this morning, baby, and all in red. You better head back to Tennessee, Jed. I dropped four flights and cracked my spine. Honey, come quick with the iodine. Catch a few wings, baby, under the bed. Then you head back to Tennessee, Jen. Tennessee, Tennessee, there ain't no place I'd rather be. Won't you carry me?
interest of trying to get this entire album in, Less Talking for me, we will join side six, which is already in progress in back of me. It's essentially a very long number. It's a prelude, which is what we're hearing now, which will eventually resolve into Morning Dew, a song about nuclear fallout, which is done really in a beautiful, moving way by performed wonderfully by Jerry Garcia and the rest of the band. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back on Friday, of course, as we continue our series with the Monkees, and then with a brand new album next Wednesday as well. So be well, folks. Hope you enjoyed the show. Take care. Thank you.
walk me out in the morning, do my honey. Thank you.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by